Okay, we're going to begin the bottom of Chesamud Beis. We're six lines up from the bottom of Chesamud Beis. We're in the middle of the line by the Gufa. First one in the line is Dromus. Okay, so the Gemara says Gufa. So Gufa is always means we're going to revisit something we previously quoted. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlomim sheshachton beheichal kshirin. A karban shlomim, if you shechted it in the heichal, so the normally you would shecht it in the azara, which is more the outer room of the Beis HaMikdash. If you would shecht it in the heichal, which is a place that's a step holier, kshirin. Says Rabbi Yochanan, he did it in the holier place, it's still okay. Shenemar, how do we know? Because the Pasuk says, V'shachtu Pesach Ohol Moed. The Pasuk says you should shecht it in the Ohol Moed, which is describing the outer room. V'lo yehei tafel chomer mina ikar. Says Rabbi Yochanan, it's not logical that the room that has more kedusha, more sanctity, it shouldn't work in. If I'm allowed to shecht it in the room with less sanctity, so then it's logical that if it has more kedusha, it should also be okay. Says the Gemara Meisvei. We're going to ask a question on this from the following Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, Minayin she'im hikifu ovdei kochavim es hazara. What would happen if non-Jews surrounded the Azara and they're not letting you go in? So not letting you go specifically into that room. So how do you know she'akohanim nechnosim leheichal? How do you know they can go into the Heichal, the room with more Kedusha of Ochlin, the Kadshei Kadshim Vishirim Minachos, and they can eat the things which are normally eaten in the Azara, the more outside room? How do you know they can go to the holier place and eat it? Talmud Lomar, we learned from a Pasuk, the Kodesh HaKadashim Tochelenu. The Kodesh HaKadashim, they can eat it. Rashi explains, based on the context of where this is written, we understand it's coming to say they can even eat it in the Heichal, in the holier room. So ask the Gemara the following question. V'halama likra. Rabbi Yochanan said, if you can do it outside, so then it's logical you can do it inside. So ask the Gemara, if you're right, so why did the Braisa need to learn it out from a pasuk? Why didn't it say your logic? Why didn't it say if you can do it outside, and for sure you could do it in the place with more kedusha? V'halama likra. Why did the Braisa need a pasuk? Lema b'chatzar o al moed yachlu. Why didn't the Braisa say, if you can eat it in the Ohel Moed outside, then lo yehei tafel chomer mina ikar? So it's not logical that the place with more Kedusha should be more stringent. So that's the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yochanan. You seem to see from the Braisa that it disagrees with his svar. So the Gemara answers, Avoda de Adam Oved b'makam rabo amrinan shelo yehei tafel chomer mina ikar. If you're serving your master, so a person who's serving his master, he could either serve his master not in front of him, and he would also serve his master if he is in front of him. He wouldn't be embarrassed. You're making a cup of tea for your master. You wouldn't be embarrassed to do it if he was in your presence. So basically, the avoda, which is going to be Rabbi Yochanan said, shechting the shlomim, which is the avoda for Hashem. Hashem's the master. So if I would do it, so to speak, not in his presence, in the place with less kedusha, then for sure I would do it if I'm even in his presence. So that's when Rabbi Yochanan said his logic. That if I could do it with less kedusha, for sure if there's more kedusha. But achila, when it comes to eating, she'ein adam ochel b'makam rabo. Just because you would eat privately in your room doesn't necessarily mean there was the most chashiv person in the world you'd be willing to eat your sandwich in front of him. So therefore, when it came to the eating of the karbanus, so time of the kasav krah, the only reason that's true, that you can even do it in the place that's holier, we needed a pasuk to teach me that. Halo kasav krah, lo yet lo, yetafel chomer min ekar lamrina. In logic, you wouldn't be able to say, just because you would eat not in front of your master, so for sure you would eat in front of your master. So that's why in the Bryce's case, we needed a pasuk to learn it out. So the Gemara's answer, you don't see not like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was only saying it in a case where basically it's logical that whatever I would do, not in my master's presence, for sure I would do it, like shechting. When it comes to eating, where the opposite. A person would be maybe more embarrassed to eat in front of a person that he respected more. That we need a pasuk to learn it out. Okay, so we're at the Itmar on the top of Tesamar Aleph, about 7 or 8 lines down. Okay, says the Gemara Itmar, we learned. Golu l'chutz l'chomas hazar. So now we're going back to some different halachas about kmitza, about doing the kmitza process. What happens if when you put the original mincha together in that klisharis, in that utensil, what if you did it outside of the walls of the azar? Right? You're supposed to really do it inside of this room in the azar in the Beis HaMikdash. What if you did it outside? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula. Rabbi Yochanan says it's no good. Rish Lakish Amar Cherin. Rish Lakish says it's okay. The Gemara explains where they're coming from. Rish Lakish Amar Cherin. Rish Lakish says it's okay. Dechsiv Vayatek Aleha Shemen. Benosan Ale Levona. This is the pasuk describing the mincha process. You should put oil into it, and you should put the levona, the frankincense, into it. V'hadar v'yviel b'nei Aaron, ha-kohanim. And then you should bring it to a kohen, v'kamatz, and the kohen should do the kmitza, should take some out with his hand. M'kmitza v'eilach mitzvahs kohuna. You only need a kohen from the beginning of the kmitza process. In other words, you saw in the pasuk that it says basically the owner can mix everything together and then bring it to a kohen, and the kohen will do the next step. So it sounds like the first step, anybody could do. Limed al yetziko b'lila shekshirin bazar. So that tells me that the pouring it in and the mixing it together is okay with a zar. A non-kohen is allowed to do that also. Umide kahuna loboi, panim nami loboi. Says Reish Lakish, if you don't need a kohen, so then it's logical to me, you also shouldn't need to do it inside the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So all you saw, I mean, all Reish Lakish could prove was that you don't need a kohen. His jump, which he held it was logical, is if you don't need a kohen, it's also, I don't think you should need to do it inside the walls of the Azara. Reb Yochanan Amar Psula. Reb Yochanan says, I don't think it's a good. Why? Because the Torah says you have to put it into a specific kli, a kli sharis, which is a special type of kli. Nehi de kahuna lo boi. Even though you're right that you don't need a kohen, but panim yaboi. I think because the fact that the Torah requires a kli sharis, which is something which normally resembles normal avoda, normal service which is normally done in the Beis HaMikdash, so I think you should need to do it inside the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, both, there's two things which we know are true. We know you don't need a kohen for the first step, but we also know you have to put it into a kli sharis. So in one aspect, it resembles normal avoda. On the other aspect, it's a little different that anybody could do it. So Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, their disagreement basically is which one to learn from. Okay, the Gemara says, Tani Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braisa which taught like Rabbi Yochanan. Because it says, Balu lazar ksheira, that if a zar, a non-kohen, mixed it together, it's okay. That everyone agreed to. But it says, Chutz l'chomas azara psula. It says explicitly, if you did it outside of the azara, then it's no good. So it's an explicit braisa, like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we're by the two dots in the middle of Tesamar Aleph. Itmar. Mincha shechasra kodim kmitza. So let's say after the person put everything in, now something fell out before he ever did the kmitza, before he ever took out. So Rabbi Yochanan omer yavim itoch beso, v'yimalena. Rabbi Yochanan says, so go bring the materials that you put in originally, and go fill it up. It's not a problem. Reish Lakish Amar, lo yovim mitoch beis ovi yimaleno. Reish Lakish says, no, once it was chaser, once it lacked some of its materials from the original putting in, so you have to start over. There's no way to fix this mincha. So the Gemara explains, Reb Yochanan Amar, maybe mitoch beis ovi yimaleno, kmitza kavale. Reb Yochanan basically holds that what determines, like, this status is really the kmitza. So in other words, there's nothing that binds my materials to this kli until I take something out. So just like as I'm pouring the materials in, I don't need to put it all in at the exact same second, right? I can put some in, put some of the lavona in, put some of the shemen. I could do it in a process. So Rabbi Yochanan's basically saying, until you take out for the kmitza, you're still in that first process of filling it up. So who cares if some fell out? So fill it up again. Reish Lakish Amar lo yavim mitoch beis ovi yimaleno. Reish Lakish argues that once it was filled up, and something fell out, there's no way to fix it, because he held Kedushas Kli Kavalei. He said what makes its status is the fact that the Kli, that the utensil that you put it into, is Koveya, it like establishes that all the materials I put in become a Mincha. So because after I put it in, that already happened, so then if something fell out later, there's no way to fix it up. So basically they're arguing which step of the process is going to be the end line for when we like call this a mincha, that if something would happen later, I'm not able to fix it. Rish Lakish says once you put it into the kli, and Rabbi Yochanan says only later, only once you take it out. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks a question on Rish Lakish, because it says chaser halug. The Bryce is describing, Rashi says, Rashi on the side of the page, it's a few lines up, Dibra Maschel Chasar Alug. Rashi says, Shemen Shel Metzorah, the oil of a Metzorah, somebody with Tzara'as in his Tara process, when he's bringing his Karbonas. So, Ad Shelo Yotzak Al Kapo HaSmolis Yimalena. Basically, you filled up a utensil with the oil. So before you put it onto the Metzorah, let's say something spilled out. So what does it say? It says if it's chaser halug, it says Rashi, v'lo amrinan dekavalu hulug shu kli sharis. We don't say that once you poured it in originally, there's no way to fix the problem. So let's go back into the Gemara. Chaser halug. So we're talking about a mitzorah. If you filled up the bucket of oil that you're going to put in this mitzorah's body, im ad shelo yotzak im alenu. If something spilled before you actually put it on him, says the Braisa, so just go get some more oil and fill it up. So that sounds a whole lot like Rabbi Yochanan. And it's talking about a different thing, but the Gemara hears it's the same thing. So just like by a Metzorah, if some of the oil was lost, so the Braisa just has to go fill it up. So says Rabbi Yochanan, same thing here. If some of the Mincha was lost, then just go fill it up. You see that just putting something into a cliché race doesn't make it that if something gets lost later, it's a problem. Says the Gemara Tiyufta. It's a raya, it's a proof, not like the opinion of Reish Lakish. Okay, Itmar. Shirayim shechasru ben kmita laktar. Let's say we're talking now by the next step. Okay, so now you had your mincha, and you took out, everything was okay so far, but now something got lost in the shirayim, and that which was left over in the kli, right, I took my kmita out. Now in the kli that was left over, what happened? Something got lost from there. Meaning that before we were talking, something got lost before I took out. Now we're saying you took out, everything was okay. Then something got lost. Reb Yochanan Amar Makdir Komet Aleyah. Says Reb Yochanan, that which you took out, you can still go bring it on the Mizbeach. It's not a problem that which was left over, something got lost. Reish Lakish Amar Ein Makdir Komet Aleyah. Reish Lakish argues that no, once something got lost, then this is no good. So the Gemara clarifies. Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, according to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, which we'll explain in a minute what he said, Kuli Alma lo pligi. Nobody's going to argue. He pligi aliba de Rebbe Yeshua. They're only arguing in the opinion of Rebbe Yeshua. So what's this machlokas that we've previously found between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua? Titnan, we learned in a Mishnah, nit me'ushi reho. Nisrefushi reha. Let's say the leftovers became tame, came impure, or they got burned up, they were destroyed. Avdushi reha, or they were lost. Kimidis Rebbe Eliezer ksheru. According to Rebbe Eliezer, it's okay. Basically, Rebbe Eliezer in a different case. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says in Kimidis Rebbe Eliezer, the Omer beperaketat solen. He said in that chapter in Pesachim. Talking about a carbon, you can sprinkle the blood of a carbon even though the meat, which should normally be eaten after that, is gone. So basically, there he's describing sprinkling of the blood even though there's no meat. The Gemara is equating that to the kmitza, which you took out, putting that on the mizbeach, even though there's no leftovers. Okay, so basically, we have two similar processes. The thing that I took out is still okay, right? The kmitz is okay, but the leftover is no good. That's like the blood, which I'm going to sprinkle for a carbon, and the blood and the meat's no longer here. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, He's saying, even if everything, even if all the meat was gone by your carbon, it's totally okay. So the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if I take out my kmitza, even if all the shirayim, everything that was left over is totally gone, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's okay. So when we go back, right, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about a case, what if some of the leftovers was gone? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they can't have that disagreement. Rabbi Eliezer says, even if everything is gone, it's okay. So nobody could say in Rabbi Eliezer that it's worse if some of it's gone. If everything's gone, it's still okay, for sure, if some of it's gone. Kmidis Rabbi Yeshua, psula. Rabbi Yeshua says the no. Rabbi Yeshua argues and says, if the whole shirayim, everything that's left over, is gone, it's a problem. So now we have a question. Does Rabbi Yeshua saying it's only a problem because when you take out your kmitza, the entire shirayim got destroyed, the entire thing got lost? Or is Rabbi Yeshua saying because anything got lost, it would be a problem? So that's going to be the disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Man de pasal, the one who says it's a problem, ki Rabbi Yeshua. He's going to say, what do you mean? Rabbi Yeshua said it's a problem if something was lost. So just like Rabbi Yeshua said, if you take out the kmitza and the whole thing's gone, it's a problem. I think it's the same if some of it was destroyed. Man de machsher, the one who says it's okay, he's going to say, Ad kan lo amar Rabbi Yeshua hasam elo delo yishtayer. When did Rabbi Yeshua say it's a problem? That's if everything was destroyed. Abol heichad yishtayer afil Rabbi Yeshua moda. But if something's left, then Rabbi Yeshua would agree. He says, where did I find such a precedent to make this distinction? Tanya, I learned in a braisa. Rabbi Yeshua omer, Rabbi Yeshua said, any carbon in the Torah, which you have left over at least a kezayis, one kezayis of the meat, which is something which would normally be eaten by the owner, or kezayis chaylev, we have a kezayis of the fats, which is brought on the mizbeach, zorek hadam, then you can sprinkle the blood. I mean, so we're going to bring the whole braisa in a second. But what the Gemara is proving is really from this first line. Rabbi Yeshua just said, even though we know Rabbi Yeshua said, that if all the meat was gone by a carbon, you can't sprinkle the blood. Rabbi Yeshua just said in this braisa, as long as you have one kezayis left, you have something left, it's okay. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua was only saying it's a problem when the entire leftover was destroyed. But if something's left over, it's okay. Okay, the Gemara continues to bring the rest of the braisa. But if it's kechatzi zayis batzar, kechatzi zayis chelev, let's say a person had half of a kezayis of meat which would be eaten, and half a kezayis of chelev which would be brought in the mizbeach, then eino zorek kesadam. That's not enough to allow you to sprinkle, because basically, to the one person who's going to eat, Hashem's going to, so to speak, eat the half that's brought in the mizbeach. We're going to eat a half that's here. They don't combine together because it's being eaten by two different, one's by us and one's by Hashem. But by Ola, if it's a carbon Ola, then afilu kechati zayis basar, kechati zayis chelev, zorek kesadam. When it comes to an Ola, the halacha by an Ola is everything's brought on the Mizbeach. Everything's brought up to Hashem. So even if it's a half of a kezayis of the meat and a half of a kezayis of chelev, you can still sprinkle the blood. Because by an ola, everything's burnt up. So everything's really going to Hashem. It's not a problem that one is meat and one's chelev. The point was, you need to have a kezayis that's going to one place. So by ola, as much as it's two different materials, it's still all going on the mizbeach. That's like you have a kezayis of meat. Or like a kezayis of chelev. It says the braisa, uve mincha. But by a mincha, afal pi shekula kayemes lo yizruk. But by a mincha, even though everything's around, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood. So ask the Gemara, the top of the next page, mincha mayavidite. Well, what are we talking about sprinkling blood if you bring a carbon mincha? Carbon mincha has nothing to do with an animal. So why? What do the braisa mean in the last line? If it's a mincha, then you shouldn't sprinkle. So Amarav Papa, Minchas Nesachim Salkad, Minchas Nesachim. We meant certain karbanos you bring with it a mincha. din mina carbon mincha by itself. And a certain carbon which you bring with it a mincha. I would have thought to say because it's being brought with a carbon, then it should have the status of the carbon also. Kamash Bulon, the Braisa came to say that no, by the mincha, even if the whole thing's around, that itself is not enough to allow you to sprinkle the blood. Okay, so back to our original conversation. Our original conversation was what would happen. Person took out the kmitza from his mincha, then something was lost from the leftovers. Okay? So we said, well, really, it's an earlier machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer said, even if everything's destroyed from the leftovers, it's okay. So everyone's going to agree about the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara said, but Rabbi Yeshua said, if everything was destroyed, it's a problem. Okay, now comes in the disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That when is Rabbi Yeshua saying it's a problem? Is it only because everything was destroyed? But if something's left over from the leftovers, it would be okay? Or is Rabbi Yeshua saying it's a problem no matter what? So we just explained the opinion that said Rabbi Yeshua only said it's a problem when everything's destroyed. But when something's left over, it's okay. Because we saw in this Braisa that it said explicitly, Rabbi Yeshua was talking, and it said as long as there's a kizayis left over, which means even though the leftovers was destroyed, it's still okay. So the Gemara answers for the other opinion on three lines down on the top of Tes Amud Beis. Uman de Pasal, the one who says by a mincha that if some of the leftovers was destroyed, it's a problem. He's going to say, Shaini hacha, to Omar Kra, Vehirim hakoin min a mincha, es haskarasa, Vehiktir. Bikhtiramiz Becha. It says the Kohen should pick up from the Mincha and he should go be makter it, he should bring it on the Mizbeach. So Ha Mincha ad Osya Lakula Mincha lo yakter. He says the Mincha, that extra hay, is mashbat to him. He understands it means that you can only bring it if the whole Mincha is there. In other words, that nothing was lost in the process. So as much as you're right, when you brought the Braisa from Rabbi Yeshua, you saw when it came to Karbonos, that as long as something was left, it's okay. He's saying, but by mincha, which we were talking about, there's a special mashmos in the pasuk. He understood the pasuk was coming to say that if anything was taken out, then it's a problem. The idach, and the one who said that it's okay, how did he read the pasuk? Min ha-mincha, mincha shaisa kvar. It means the Kohen should take out from the thing which was once upon a time a mincha. In other words, it was once filled. Even though later it was chasra, later something was taken out, that's not a problem. So basically, is the pasuk describing as the Kohen's taking it out and going to bring it on the Mizbeach, it still needs to be full? That's one opinion, which would say that if anything got lost, it's a problem. Or is it saying when the Kohen goes to put it on the Mizbeach, it needs to be from a mincha, which was once upon a time full. Therefore, if something was lost in the process, it's not a problem. Okay, let's skip the parentheses. Go to Eisvei. Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan had a question on Reish Lakish. Ad shelo parka, nifras lachma. Okay, so now we're talking about the lechem apanim. So lechem apanim is the showbread. And basically, once a week, they would come in, take off the old bread, and put in the new bread. So what would happen before they took off the bread? Nifras lachma. A piece of the bread was broken off. Halechem pasal. Then all the bread is no good. Ve'ein makdir alavas habazikim. And the bazikim, right, we spoke about this last week, was this utensil that was on the table with the lechem upon it. So normally, that would go in the mizbeach. But if the bread was broken before you actually ever took it off, so then you wouldn't go put this on the mizbeach. But v'yimishaparka nifras lachma. But let's say after you took off the bread, then a piece broke off. Halechem pasul. Still the bread's no good. But a makdir lovas habazikin. But you could bring the bazikin onto the mizbeach. V'omer Rebbe Lozar lo parka mamish. Rebbe Lozar said, it doesn't mean that you really took it off. As long as it was the time where it was proper for it to be taken off, even though you didn't physically take it off. So what are we saying? We're saying, you see, again, Reb Yochanan was the opinion who said that if something was lost from the shirayim, from the leftovers, it's okay. Right? Reish Lakish said, it's not okay. So Reb Yochanan's proving from this brisa that even though, basically after you took off the bread, okay, before you brought the bazikim on the mizbeach, so the bazikim is going to be like our kmitza, that which you took out. So it said, even though some of the bread was lost, some of the bread was broken off, it's okay. So that's very similar to you take the kmitza out, then some of the leftovers is lost. The Rabbi Yochanan was arguing you can bring it. So just like here, after you took off the bread, now some of the bread broke off, it says you can still go bring the bazikim onto the mizbeach. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's proof. So Amar Reish Lakish responds, Hamani Rabbi Eliezer he. I could tell you, you're right. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Like we said in Amar Aleph, that really there's an earlier machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right? And Rabbi Eliezer, even if everything's destroyed, it's okay. So if you try to prove Reish Lakish wrong from a brisa, he always has the liberty of saying, well, maybe that's the opinion that says, even if everything was destroyed, it's okay. We were never talking in that opinion. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan responds, Ana amina lecha mishna shlema v'amarta li at Rabbi Eliezer. I came and said, like a stam mishna, I asked the mishna, but didn't say any names on it. And you're answering to me that it's only according to one opinion. E Rabbi Eliezer, if it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, my irya nifras, afilu sarif v'avad nami machshir. If it's really like Rabbi Eliezer, so then why did the braisa say a piece of the bread was broken? It should have said a much bigger chiddush. It should have said, even if all the bread was destroyed, you can still go bring the bazikim on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, ishtik. Reish Lakish was silent. The Gemara says, v'amai shasak. Why was he silent? I know an answer. Lema leit tzibur shiny. Why didn't Reish Lakish answer that you can't prove anything from the lechem apanim? The lechem apanim is something that's brought for the tzibur, for all the Jewish people. So what should he have said? Hol v'shdari tumah legabayu. We find certain leniencies by the tzibur. Right? If most of the kohanim would be impure, so then they would be allowed to do the avoda even though they're impure. If an individual kohen would be impure, it wouldn't be like that. So, but because we found a leniency of tumah by kohen by the tzibur when it's for the whole Jewish people, ishtari nami chaserus. There should also be a leniency that when something was broken off. In other words, all you can prove is by the lechem apanim, which is something which is brought representing all the Jewish people. So that's where you see that if something broke off, it's a problem. Why did Reish Lakish hold that was a good question for a private mincha, which we were describing, that if a person brings his own mincha and something was lost from the shirayim, from the leftovers, maybe there's a difference if it's for the public or for an individual. So that's the Gemara's question on why Reish Lakish didn't answer the question. Right? Reb Yochanan asked a question of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was silent. The Gemara is asking, why was he silent? Why didn't he say this difference? So Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, Zosomeres, from the fact that Reish Lakish didn't answer like this, Hachisorin kebal mum dami, vein bal mum betzibor. The way I understand what this is saying is, you see from Reish Lakish that if something's broke off, the way to view it is just like an animal with a blemish, you can't be brought to the karban. So a full mincha, which something was lost, is like an animal with a blemish. In other words, it's something which is now incomplete, something that was complete, which now became incomplete. Okay? So just like by a balmum, something with a blemish, it's not okay. Whether it's for an individual or whether it's for the public. So too, Reish Lakish held that this problem of chaser, if something's lost, it wasn't logical to him there should be any difference whether it's for an individual or for the public. He held it was just like a balmum, just like if an animal had a blemish. So Yosef Rav Papa ka'omer la shmeitza. So Rav Papa was saying over this conversation between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Rav Yochanan asked a question, And Rish Lakish didn't answer the question. So Omer Lei Rav Yosef Bar Shmaya L'Rav Papa. So Rav Yosef said to Rav Papa, Milo Askin under Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish B'minchas HaOmer D'Tzibor Hui Ipligi. He said, I know why Rish Lakish didn't answer the question. Because who says Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish? We're only talking about a mincha of an individual. There's also a mincha that's brought for the Tzibor. What's that? The mincha of the Omer on the second day of Pesach. Right? The mincha that's brought, which allows all the new grain to be eaten. So if they were also talking about the mincha which was brought for the Tzibor, so then if you ask me a question from a case which is talking about the Tzibor, I can't answer. There's a difference between the Tzibor and an individual. Because we're talking about the same thing. So in other words, the Gemara before was assuming they were talking about the mincha of an individual. And therefore it was asking, if you ask me from something which is talking about the tzibur, the public, so why didn't you answer? There's between public and private. Gemara's answer is, they were also disagreeing about a mincha which was for the public. So to ask a question from the Lecha Bapanim, which was also for the tzibur, would be a very straight question. Okay, so we are up to about 8 lines down, Tesamud Beis. 8 lines down in the wide lines. Amar of Malkiyo. Rav Malkiyo said, Tanakha, that we learned in one braisa, Misalta. These are the psukim by the mincha. You should bring it from its flower. Shim chasr kol shehu psula. The braisa learns from there that if anything... It's not clear what the case is. That's what the Gemara is going to describe. But it says if something was chasr, something was removed from it, it's a problem. Mishamna, talking about the oil. So really, Rashi says we're not going to be paying attention to this so much because this is talking about the oil. But it says, shim chasr kol shu pasul. But if something was taken out, it's pasul. It's a problem. V'tanya idach, we learned in a different braisa. V'anoseris min ha-mincha. That which is left over from the mincha, prat lemincha shechasrahi, to the exclusion of a mincha, that something was taken out from it, v'shechasra kumtza, or the komates was, something was lost from that which you took out, shelo lahakter milvonosa klum. Basically, once you're not bringing the kmitza, you shouldn't also bring the frankincense. Okay, so what does the Gemara see from this braisa? It says, trei kroy v'chaseiris lamali. From these braises, we see that there's two different verses which are describing there's a problem if something was lost from the mincha. Something was chasra from the mincha. So what's the case that the braise is talking about? Mara says, Lav chad le mincha shechasra kodem kmitza. Isn't it one case that the braise is describing is that you had everything in the pan, something was taken out before you ever did the kmitza? So again, that was the original, right? That was the original discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. You put everything in the pan. Before you ever took out the kmitza, something was lost. So isn't one braisa describing that case? V'chad l'shirayim shechasru ben kmitza laktara. And the other braisa which said another verse that if something was lost, it's a problem. That will be that after you took out the kmitza, now something was lost. So in other words, we have two braises describing that it's a problem if something was lost. It's not clear what the case is. So the Gemara says, isn't the simplest way to understand it is one is talking about a case where something fell out before you took out the kmitza, and the other one's talking about the case that after you took out the kmitza, something fell out. And it would be saying both of those are a problem. V'tiyuvta d'Rav Yochanan v'tarvayu. So if that's right, it would disprove both opinions of Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan, or Amar Aleph, said both if something fell out before you took it out, or if something fell out after you took it out from the leftover, something fell out. Rabbi Yochanan said both are okay. So Gemara says, isn't this the two cases of the Pasuk, and therefore you would see not like Rabbi Yochanan in both? Gemara says, look. No, Rabbi Yochanan would read it differently. How would he read it? Chad lemincha shechasra kodem kmitza. One is a mincha, which something fell out earlier. And what's it coming to teach you? Di mevi mi beisil yimalena in. If you refill it, it's okay. Vi lo lo. And if you don't refill it, it's not okay. In other words, it's not coming to tell you that if something fell out, there's nothing you can do. That's how Rish Lakish will learn it. He'll say, if something fell out before you took out the kmitza, it's over. Rabbi Yochanan's going to say, no, it's coming to teach you, if something fell out, that the only way to do it is if you refill it. For sure, if you refill it, it's okay. It's just coming to say, don't think that because it was originally full, it's okay. You have to go refill it back up if something was lost. The other one is coming to teach you that a case, after you took out the kmitza, some of the leftovers was lost. Even though you're allowed to go bring that which you took out on the Mizbeach, still the leftovers is prohibited to eat. So in other words, Reish Lakish will read the two verses, one's coming to say, if something was lost before you took out the kmitza, it's a problem. And the other one's coming to say, after you took out the kmitza, if something was lost, it's also a problem. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds both of those cases are okay, will say one verse is coming to teach you that before you took out the kmitza, if something was lost, you have to refill it before you do it. Don't think you can take out the kmitza from something incomplete. And the other one's coming to tell you that if you took it out and then something got lost, as much as you're allowed to go put it in the mizbeach, don't think you're allowed to eat the leftovers. Tiboylehu, we actually had a question about exactly this case. According to the opinion who says that if something was lost after you took out the kmitza, you're still allowed to put the kmitza on the mizbeach. Osan shirayim mahein v'achilo. We had a question, are you allowed to eat the leftovers or not? And Omar Ze'iri, and Ze'iri said about this, Omar Kro, v'hanoseres v'lo hanoseres min hanoseres. So Ze'iri's, he's learning from a pasuk that he thinks it would be a problem. Because why? Because the pasuk says, basically, that which is left over after you took out the kmitza, you have your whole klisharis, you take out some of the kmitza, says that which is left over, you can put in the mizbeach. Says Ze'iri, sounds like if it's left over from one taking out. But if after it was left over, more spilled out, then he hears that would be called leftovers from leftovers, in a sense. The original kmitza was taken out, and more spilled out? That the pasuk is coming to say it's not okay. It only says that which is left over once. It doesn't say if it was left over twice. Okay, so Ze'iri held about this question the same way we just said in Rabbi Yochanan. That even though if something fell out before you already took the kmitza, then something spilled out. Even though you're allowed to go put this kmitza on the mizbeach, so the pasuk is coming to teach you that you're not allowed to eat the leftovers. So it is different than a normal mincha. That's what comes up. Rabbi Yanai Amar, Rabbi Yanai said about this, Mi'a mincha, mincha shahaisa kvar. So really Rashi over here, he has two different versions, whether he understands that Rabbi Yanai is coming to agree to Ze'iri, and he's just bringing it from a different verse, or maybe Rabbi Yanai is really coming to disagree with Ze'iri. That's just two different pshatim on that line. Okay, so we're right at two dots. Kamatz b'smol. So we're going, this is really a quote back to the Mishnah on Vava Med Aleph, right? The Mishnah of Vava Med Aleph said, if you do the kmitza process with your left hand, it's no good. So ask the Gemara, how do we know that's true? Minahni mili. How do we know that that's true? Amar Reb Zeira, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Vayikra ves ha-mincha v'yimalei kapo mimeno. You should bring the mincha and you'll fill up your hand with it. So what does the Torah mean when it says hand? Does it mean both hands, left hand, right hand? That's going to be the question. Kav ze eini yodea mahu. When the Torah describes your hand, I'm not sure what it's referring to. So keshu omer v'lokach ha-kohen milog ha-shemen, yotzak al kaf ha-kohen ha-smolus, in a different parsha. This is the parsha by Metzora, again by the Tara process, by somebody who had saras. So there the Torah says that you should do it with your left hand. So the Gemara says kan smolus. If there it said left hand, so ha-kohen makam shemar kaf eino eli yamin. So it would, if there it says a left hand, then it would sound like, if it doesn't say left hand, you should assume it's the right hand. Huh?
Think it could be either.
Oh, very good. Stay tuned. Ask the Gemara. Well, maybe over there it's coming to say specifically left hand. And maybe everywhere else it means both hands. Right? Very good. That's exactly what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara answers, smallest hachrina ksiv. Gemara says, well, it says left hand in that parsha twice. So why does it say left hand? So the Gemara is saying, it's coming to teach you. In other words, if it just wanted everywhere else to be both hands, then it would have said in that parsha once left hand. And you would have been left with, if it doesn't say, it means both hands. Why did it say an extra left hand? So it's coming to exclude, really, for the diak, that everywhere else it's only right hand. Still ask the Gemara. Ve'eima ein miyata elo akar miyat elo l'rabos. Says the Gemara, there's a rule that if the Torah excludes something twice, basically, why is it excluding it twice? It's really coming to include that which it excluded twice. So if it says left hand and not right hand twice, so that would really come back to right hand's okay. Right? So the Gemara says, smolas hachrinaksiv. Well, it says a third time left hand. What's the third time coming to teach you? Kan smolas, vein acher smolas. Coming to tell you, here the left hand, and everywhere else, it shouldn't be with your left hand. Where it says, ve'ema adarabba. Maybe I could say the opposite. Ma kan smolas af ba'alma nami smolas. Maybe it's coming to teach you, the third time's coming to be magale, it's coming to show you that when the Torah just says hand, it's referring to the left hand. My answer is arba smolas ksivi. It says it four times, trei ba'ani, trei ba'asher, two by a person who's getting rid of the saras, and he's poor, and two, that's rich. So basically, if we go through all the steps, the Gemara's coming out, once there's four, we have an answer. If it just said it once, so I wouldn't be able to prove anything. Because why? Because you could say maybe over there the Torah said left hand, everywhere else it was both hands. Okay. Where's it? But it said it twice. So why did it say it twice? So it said left hand and not right hand twice. Maybe that should teach me that everywhere else it's specifically the right hand. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? If it says left hand and not right hand twice, so maybe ein mirach amiral rabos, if the Torah excludes something twice, it's really coming to include it. So I'll be back to square one, that really everywhere else, both right hand and left hand would be okay. Where I said, and if you just said it the third time, that wouldn't prove anything. Because maybe the Torah is saying it a third time to tell you everywhere else, when it doesn't tell you which hand, it means specifically left hand. Go learn from that parsha that stam hand, if it doesn't say, it means specifically left hand. There's that, yeah, but why did it say it a fourth time? You can't answer why it said it a fourth time except to tell you that when it doesn't tell you, it means specifically right hand. Basically, we're left with a question, which we're drawing a conclusion based on. There's an extra left hand in the pasuk. You can't ask me any other question, meaning that's what we already dealt with the first three. So if you still have a fourth, then it's coming to teach you, because I understand, it's coming to teach you that when a Torah describes the hand, it's saying specifically the right hand. So that's the source for the Mishnah, that if you did the kmitza with your left hand, it's going to be a problem. Omrili Reb Yirmila Reb Zeira, al bohen yodo hayimonis, val bohen raglo hayimonis techsiv, lamoli. Mara asks that when the pasuk is describing, this is by tzara'as, by the mitzora process, when the pasuk describes there, why does it come and say, put it on his left hand, his right thumb and his right big toe. Earlier in the parsha, it already described that it was on his right hand and his right toe. So why did the Torah come to say it again? It's the top of Yonamar Aleph. Chad lahachshir tzadin, v'chad lepasol tzidei tzadin. One is coming to say that it's okay if it's on the side of his thumb. One is coming to say it's even okay if it's tzidei tzadin. In other words, a little further off the right place that you put it. Al dam ha'asham. Al dam ha'asham. Al mokom dam ha'asham lamai asu. Gemara asks, and the psukim by asham, what is that coming to teach me? Hani tzrichi ikas ha'rachmana al dam ha'asham. Basically, you have two psukim describing you should put the oil on the place of the blood. talking about the Metzora who is in his Tara process. So why are the two Psukim describing put it in the place of the blood? Mar says you need both. Ikas Rachmana al Dam Ha'asham Hava Mina Ise in Iskaneach Lo. I would have thought that if the blood's still around, still on his finger, then you can go put the oil on it. But if it's Niskaneach, if it was already cleared off, then it's a problem. Because that pasuk, right, it said put it on the blood. It would sound like the blood needs to be there. So Kasav Rachmana al Makum. Therefore, the Torah said, put it on the place of the blood, which would sound like even if the blood's not there because it got wiped off, it's still okay. Because of Rachmana al-Makum, and if the Torah just said, put it on the place, Hava Mina Dafka Niskaneach, I would have thought maybe it's okay because it was wiped off. But if the blood was still around, maybe it's a problem. Maybe the Torah specifically wants you to wipe it off. So Kamash Malon al-Dam Ha'asham. So it went out of its way to say both. It went to say on the blood, on the place of the blood. So you shouldn't think specifically on the blood, and you shouldn't think specifically on the place of the blood. So they told me on Friday I could say something short on the parasha. So it's so just a short idea. I saw in last week's parasha, the Torah describes the mitzvah that a melech, a Jewish king, should constantly keep with him a Torah. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains that the reason for that mitzvah is that a king has tremendous power. Right? A king is able, it's not a democracy, a Jewish king. A Jewish king is able to, he has tremendous power. He can, if he decides he wants to kill a person, he's allowed to kill a person. So because a king has such tremendous power, so the Torah tells him, you always have to keep the Torah with you. In other words, before you make any decision, you have to be careful, you have to check yourself. And the gauge to make sure you're making the right decision is to make sure you're holding the Torah with you. Check the Torah. Make sure, from the Torah's perspective, you're making the right decision. And as much as that's only physically true, that a melech, a Jewish king, physically has to hold the Torah, but the perspective is true for all of us, that through the as we go through life, the perspective we're supposed to have is to look, as we each decision we get to, we're supposed to look to the Torah, look to the Chachmei Torah, the people that know the Torah, to guide us through the different decisions in our life. I think this is connected also to L'David, which we say in El. If you look at the words of L'David, one of the main themes that David HaMelech is describing is asking from Hashem for guidance. Right? He's asking, Hashem, let me be able to learn your Torah. Hashem, guide me in the right path. He's being misfouled. He's asking from Hashem that basically lead me in the right path throughout life. So I think specifically in Elul, which is it's a time of tshuva, it's a time to his orus, to awaken ourselves. That's why we're reading the same idea, that we're supposed to awaken ourselves to ask Hashem, meaning we're davening for this idea. We're davening to ask Hashem to basically give us the opportunity, to give us the siyata d'shmaya, to be able to use the Torah to be guided in the right direction. No. Huh?